It used to be 2 hours. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News Radio.
Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this edition of the Knowing the Truth radio program. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling, and so glad that you joined us today on the program. Going to do something a little bit different on the program today. If you've been listening to the broadcast for a long period of time, you know that basically the subjects that we talk about on the program revolve around three broad categories associated with Christianity. One is we talk very often about Christian living. The other is we talk about cultural engagement, and the third one is, and probably the primary one that we talk about, is theology. So theology, Christian living, and cultural engagement. Well, I've done a number of programs already this year, and even this just even more recently over the last couple of days, dealing with the subject of Christian living and somewhat of the subject of cultural engagement. In other words, we looked at the idea of some news items that were taking place and things that were taking place in the culture round about us, and then looked at and gave some commentary on those news items as to how, from a biblical perspective, Christians should be approaching and thinking about these issues. I think that's vitally important, and that applies to every area of our life. You know, we're very fond, as especially in the Reformed community, of talking about the fact that Christ is sovereign over every single molecule in the universe, that when he looks at every molecule, there's not a single one in which Christ does not say, "This is mine." He has dominion, he has power, he has authority over every aspect of our life, and that includes politics as well. I noted the other day on my Facebook account that a friend lives outside the state right now, but she had actually commented on a piece of information, and it happened to be a political piece. And she prefaced her comments on Facebook by saying, "I don't normally post anything related to politics, but I thought that this was good." And then she had a YouTube clip or something on there for a particular candidate. And I found what I found more interesting than the actual clip that she posted was the statement that she made in order to post it. "I don't normally comment on politics." Well, why not? Why would believers not comment on politics? I know that we look at it today and we go, you know, it's so corrupt and dirty and messy at times, and, you know, you can't trust anybody that's out there, and we're very cynical about what's taking place in it. But we can't allow that cynicism to take it all the way to the point that somehow we're holier than thou if we don't deal with it. We've got to bring the truth of God's Word to bear on every single issue that we face in this life, and that includes politics. I think it was John Calvin who said that involved in the civil realm as a politician or a civil magistrate, that he spoke about it as being one of the highest callings that a man could have. I know that's anathema to us today. We would never be using that same type of terminology to talk about politicians, but this is the way that it was. If you look at the way that God has structured it, the institutions that God has put in place, we can see how Calvin could make that type of statement. Of course, Calvin was heavily involved in the work that took place there in Geneva, and so we can certainly see that. I sent David Hall an email the other day. David Hall, was the head of the Calvin 500 project that took place, and he's written a number of books about Calvin. He's got an interesting one called Calvin in the Public Square, and I've asked him to come on the program. We weren't able to get him for today, but hoping while the election is still going on and while it's hot in everybody's mind, forefront in everybody's mind, I think I'd love to get him on to talk about how John Calvin would have responded to a number of the issues that we face today. I think that would be a very interesting discussion. So I just say that to say that that even that realm, God has called us to, as Christians, to think about these things, to take them all back to the Word of God, the touchstone of the Word of God, as it's referred to in the book of Isaiah in chapter 8, verse 2, bring it back to that touchstone of the Word of God, and then analyze it from there and come out with a position based upon that. That's what we should be doing as Christians, and it's going to involve us engaging our mind. We're going to have to think about these things. And unfortunately, there is a trend towards an anti-intellectualism in today's modern evangelicalism. There's some groups that even talk about that if you engage your mind, that in some way then you are limiting the Holy Spirit of God. That if you think about these things, that you're not then allowing just the Holy Spirit to move you the way that He should. And there's actually groups that are involved in teaching this, that you shouldn't think so much about it. You should just go as the Spirit moves you, and that would be, you'd be much more spiritual in doing it that way. I don't believe that at all. In fact, I've been promoting on the broadcast the upcoming Ligonier Conference. It's going to have some great folks at it. Sinclair Ferguson, R.C. Sproul will be there, Robert Godfrey, Del Tackett, Stephen Myers, just to name a few of the folks that are going to be there. It's going to be great. It's called The Christian Mind. Well, I think the timing of this is excellent because it's going to involve us. How do we as Christians think through the issues that we face in this life? And so I think it's very timely. By the way, I have some extra tickets for that, and I would like to, especially for pastors or elders, if you're interested in going to that event, send me an email at kevin@knowingthetruth.org, and I'll see about if I can provide you with some free tickets. They're about $150 a piece, and so I'd love for a pastor, I'd love to send a pastor and his wife to Orlando, Florida. You have to, of course, provide your own transportation and lodging. But I'd love to pay your ticket to be able to go to that event, to provide you with a free ticket for you to be able to go. So if you want to do that, if you're a pastor or an elder here in the area within the listening audience and you would like to go, shoot me an email. And while the supplies last there, I'd love to be able to provide you with a ticket so you could go, because I think it's that important. I'm going to also send that out to the folks that are on the list there with the Pastors Fellowship of Greater Greenville, and those pastors specifically, I'll shoot them an email and see if any of them would like to go as well. I've got a group of folks going from our church to that event. We're going to go down there and we look at it as a retreat for our church, and so there's going to be a number of folks that are going to end up being able to go and be able to fellowship together there around this important topic. So I say all that to say that that we talk about theology, cultural engagement, and Christian living on this program. Today, I want to focus on theology, and I want to focus on theology by looking at a very important scripture that I'm afraid gets overlooked so often. And the scripture verse that I'm talking about is in Luke chapter 2, and primarily in verse 52. We're going to take a quick commercial break, but when we come back from the break, I'm going to start going through this. This is the verse that we'll be talking about. The verse is, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." A lot of times we look at the incarnation, and rightfully so, at Christmas time, but it's, you know, December 26th rolls around. We say, okay, we're done with that. Let's move on now. Well, wait a second. There's an event that takes place between the infancy of Christ and the beginning of His ministry 30 years old, and that event is listed for us here in Luke chapter 2. I want to talk about that, the increase of Christ. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Last time on the Steve Dace Show.
One of the reasons I think we struggle as voters is because we think it's our responsibility as the employer to hire the employee. No, it is the employee's responsibility to close the sale with you, the employer. That's not your responsibility. You've got the job opening. It's the applicant's job to prove they deserve it.
Boldly going where no other show would dare. Steve Dace.
Weekday evenings at 9 on Christian Talk 92.9 FM.
It's great pizza for a great price. So pack up the family and head over to Stevie D's near Walmart on Woodruff Road in Greenville. At Stevie D's, you'll find friendly faces and at least a dozen pizzas out at all times. Or you can order a pizza. They'll make it fresh just for you at no extra cost. So visit Stevie D's today.
Hi, this is Pastor Kevin Bowling, and I want to take the time to thank John, Ruth, Carlos, and the good folks over there at Stevie B's Pizza for their support of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. Hi, this is Pastor Kevin Bowling, host of the Knowing the Truth radio program. Let me tell you about a special event called Teach Them Diligently, coming March 15th through the 17th to the Spartanburg Expo Center. Parents will learn how to enhance the homeschool instruction of their children. Speakers include Ken Ham, Bodie Bauckham, Doug Phillips, and many more. Plus, there will be over 150 workshops. For more information, go to teachthemdiligently.net.
Prison, it's a place of hopelessness for many, but it doesn't have to be. In prisons across America, incarcerated men and women are receiving a scripture text date book from World Missionary Press, a pocket calendar with a powerful scripture verse for all 366 days of 2012. Thousands of prisoners lean on their scripture date book for hope. You can help provide copies by calling 1-800-422-WORD. That's 1-800-422-WORD.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Okay, let me give you just a couple quick announcements, and then we'll go right to the text that I want us to look at today. One is, you just heard the announcement there for the Teach Them Diligently convention that's taking place in Spartanburg. You can go out to their website to find out all the information. I just mentioned one or two of the speakers. There's really a number of great speakers that are going to be there. You heard me mention that there were going to be 150 workshops associated with it. It's tremendous. I had the folks that put that together, the married couple and their children were actually here with me in this studio. The nunneries were here. David and what is it?
Alisa?
No, I don't think it was that. I'm sorry. Your name has escaped me. Leslie, I think it was. David and Leslie. That's what it was. David and Leslie Nunnery were with me here in the studio. And they were telling us about this great event. And just check it out. Go out to their website at www.teachthemdiligently.net. Teach Them Diligently. They pulled together a great website. These folks have really done a good job. And secondly, I wanted to make sure we're not running an ad for it, but I'm just trying to make sure to mention it during the program. Maybe I'll mention it again towards the end of the program today. But the Duggars are going to be here. So if you're Duggar fans from the TLC program, 19 Kids and Counting, I think they had to scratch that and put that up higher. I'm not sure. I noticed she had a miscarriage recently as well. But anyways, that TLC program that's on, the Duggars will be here in Greenville. And they're going to be up at the Pelham Road Chick-fil-A location on Tuesday at 3:30. So right after the broadcast on Tuesday, and maybe I'll be talking about them or maybe even with them on Tuesday's broadcast. But right after the broadcast here, our broadcast ends at 2 o'clock. Well, at 3:30, if you get up there to Pelham Road Chick-fil-A, the Duggars are going to be up there. And they're going to be up there stumping for Rick Santorum, Senator Rick Santorum's campaign. I think Senator Santorum's wife is going to be there, and possibly the senator as well. I know that she has been traveling with the Duggars, and so I assume she's going to be there. Don't hold me to that, but I assume so. And I think they're trying to work out with the senator's schedule for him to be there as well, but that is not confirmed. So the Duggars will be there. And so I hope to meet a lot of you folks up there. I'll be up there as well afterwards. And so come on up and say hello. Love to get a chance to say hello to you. I was mentioning before the break that I wanted to look at a passage of Scripture that is found in Luke chapter 2 and the end of that chapter. Let me read the last 10 or 11 verses or so. Starting at verse 41, Luke 2:41, it says this. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the Feast of Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem as the custom, after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing that he had been in their company, they went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, and hearing them and asking them questions. And all they that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed, speaking of the parents of Jesus, and they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou dealt with us, thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee, sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that you sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and was subject to them, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. So it's that last portion that I really want to focus on here today, that last verse, that Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. And when we think about this subject, and in fact this entire section of Scripture, I think that this passage of Scripture should be of particular interest to every student of the Bible. And the reason why I say that is it contains the only facts that we know about the Lord Jesus Christ during the first 30 years of his life on earth beyond his infancy. While it doesn't give us a great deal of details about what took place during that time, it does give us some general information about what took place during that time. In other words, the Holy Spirit of God, who's the author of the Scriptures that we read and hold so dear, the author of the Word of God has decided to give us only one text of Scripture dealing with the life of Christ from his infancy until the beginning of his earthly ministry at 30 years of age. There's only one text, and this is that text of Scripture that we find here, and that text of Scripture is the one that I just read. And so it gives us information, but it doesn't just tell us about the one event, but it also tells us a little bit of information about the Lord Jesus Christ as a whole. In other words, it's saying at the end of this that Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Now, there's a lot of lessons that we can learn from this text. To tell you the truth, other pastors that I've heard preach on this text, sometimes the only thing that I hear them mention about it is the negative example of how Joseph and Mary went a long distance without realizing that the son, their son, the Lord Jesus Christ, was with them. You know, apparently 3 days goes by before they eventually find him. But I don't think that that is really the lesson here that we should draw from it. Obviously, they thought that the Lord Jesus Christ was with one of the other family members, one of the extended family. We read that in the text. And so I don't think that there's a negative aspect here, that they just assumed that he was with. This has happened to many parents. You know, it's a everyday life is what we're seeing here, right? I thought you were going to pick the kids up. No, I was supposed to do it. And so we see that the normal, everyday experience, not that we leave our kids behind every day, I don't mean that, but that there is a mix-up in the communication as to what should be taking place. I think there's an example here, though, in the life of Joseph and Mary that's a great example for all Christian couples. First, it says here in the text that they went to Jerusalem every year at the Feast of the Passover. In other words, we get a picture of Joseph and Mary that they honored God's appointed ordinances, and they did so together. That's the point of the text here. The distance between Nazareth and Jerusalem was significant. The journey was hard. It involved a significant amount of expense. And yet, we find that they honored the ordinance that was given to them by God. God had given them the command, and they obeyed what God had said to do. And I think that this is a great lesson for every Christian couple. We should be doing the same thing. Every Christian couple ought to be encouraging one another spiritually. We should be praying and reading and attending services together as Christian couples. So I think there's a great example here for us. In a day and age where many people are saying, well, I no longer need to go to a local church, we should be honoring, as Christian couples, honoring what God has ordained. He says this clearly in the book of Hebrews, that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. And so we should be going to God's house on the Lord's day and worshiping and serving Him. I think that there's another lesson here, certainly a lesson here for young people. I know that this is the Lord Jesus Christ that's being spoken of. I understand that. But look at what we find out about the conduct of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's outside of the presence of His parents for 3, maybe 4 days at the most here. But what do we find Him doing outside of their presence? He's not wasting time. He's not getting into trouble. He's not hanging out with unprofitable company. Rather, we find Him sitting and listening to what is being taught and asking questions. You know, I think sometimes we think that our young people can't understand what's being said during the services. They need to be together with their own peers more often and not together with some of the older folks at church, the much wiser and older folks at church. And so we take them out of those environments. We say, oh, they can only learn if they're together with their peers. And, you know, the general thinking is somebody among their peers will be more spiritual and it'll pull them up and they'll end up being more spiritual. Let me tell you, my experience has been just the opposite happens. If there is a young person in the mix of the rest of them who does show some sort of spiritual growth, it won't last very long in that group. He normally gets pulled down by the rest of the folks that are there. But here we find something completely different with the Lord Jesus Christ. We find that He is trustworthy behind the backs of His parents, and this should be a lesson to all young people. They should seek out good company. They ought to make the best out of every opportunity, increase their spiritual understanding. Listen, if you're old enough to do wrong, you're old enough to do right, and so you should be applying yourself in doing what is right. Now, there's a lesson here in this text for not just for Christian couples or for young people. There's a lesson here for every Christian that's listening to my voice here today as well. Jesus says this when His parents come to Him. He said, I must be about my Father's business. This should be the daily occupation of every true believer. We should use this statement as a test of all of our habits and all of our conversations, all of the things that we're involved in. We should be walking in the steps of Christ and being about our Father's business. This is the one question I ask when I look at so much of what is being done today. I say, where is being about the Father's business? There's so many other things that are taking place. Where is dying to self? Where is private religion? Where is all of these things that we see in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ? And specifically here, where is being about our Father's business? Let's get to the task at hand, and let's be done with these lesser things on the side. So just a very quick look at this verse, we can draw some very surface-level points out of the text. When we come back from the break, I want to drill down deeper. I want to talk about the general doctrine of Christ growing and increasing. Think about this. This is a profound text. How do we reconcile this idea that it says that Jesus increased? Jesus increased. We got to be very careful here. We're walking on holy ground. We're looking at the text of Scripture that it's very, very important that we be theologically precise when we start talking about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're going to look at when we come back from the break. And I encourage you to stay with us while we do this. The phone lines are open as well, 1-888-660-WLFJ. We'll be back in just a few moments.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
Is your money controlling you, or are you controlling your money? Sadly, many times it's the latter. If that's the case, join me, Dan Carson, weekdays at noon here on Christian Talk 660 and 92.9 FM for Money Sense Talk Radio. We'll talk about money from the ground up and pursue some proper perspective. Again, that's Money Sense Talk Radio with Dan Carson, weekdays at noon on Christian Talk 660 and 92.9 FM.
This is Myron Cervajan of Christian Learning Centers of Greenville County. For 15 years, it has been our privilege to serve families in this area through our Release Time Christian Education Program. We would like to take this time to thank all of our ministry friends, individuals, churches, business owners, the South Carolina Christian Foundation, and Bilo Charities for your confidence and willingness to invest in the spiritual development of public school students in our community. We look forward to a continued partnership with you as we strive to provide Release Time programs for every public middle school and high school in Greenville County.
One of the things most alarming to me about today's culture is how evangelicals are responding to attacks against them. Many believe that somehow just having one's heart in the right place is all that matters, that a passion for Jesus and the life of the mind are somehow mutually exclusive. But burning hearts are not nourished by empty heads. We must develop our minds if we are to sustain godly passion and to have a clear message. Hi, this is R.C. Sproul inviting you to the Ligonier Ministries 2012 National Conference in Orlando, March 15th through the 17th, as we consider the theme of the Christian mind. I'll be joined by Sinclair Ferguson, Robert Godfrey, Michael Horton, Steve Lawson, Al Mohler, Stephen Meyer, R.C. Sproul Jr., and Del Tackett. Call 800-435-4343 now to get the early bird rate or register online at Ligonier.org. I hope to see you there.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back into the second half of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. On today's program, we're focusing in on theology and specifically on the doctrine of the increase of Christ, as it's mentioned to us in Luke chapter 2 and verse 52. Now, I just, before the break, I talked about some general lessons that we can draw from this text. By the way, this is what we went over in our Sunday school lesson at Mountain Ridge Bible Fellowship, the church that I pastor out in Traveler's Rest. So not only does it allow us here today to go through an important theological truth concerning the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, but also it'll give you a little bit of an idea of the types of subjects that we discuss at the Mountain Ridge Bible Fellowship. This was our Sunday school lesson for the last couple of weeks. We're going to switch gears here and go back to our study in Joshua for the next few weeks in Sunday school. And we've also been doing a study in our morning worship service on Psalm 119. We're in the last stanza, and we only have about maybe four or five more verses left in the entire psalm. We've done verse by verse, pretty much throughout the entire Psalm of Psalm 119, which, by the way, a church consultant would tell you that's the death of a church, that any church that would take on some sort of study like that, you know, you're just asking for trouble, and the people won't put up with it, and, you know, they're going to go somewhere else. We've had just the opposite response. I've had people in the congregation say to me, you know, that they're really going to miss this study that we have done through the Psalm. We believe in expository preaching of God's Word, and we believe that the Holy Spirit didn't waste ink when He wrote things in the Word of God, that every verse tells, every word has something to say. And so we look at it very in-depth, and this is... you know, this is, like I say, not very popular in today's modern evangelicalism. People want little sermonettes. Well, there's a saying that says that sermonettes make Christianettes. And we believe in sermons. We believe in the preaching of God's Word. We believe in opening up the Bible and looking at what the text has to say. And we believe the people of God can do that and will welcome the preacher doing that because they love the Word of God as well, and they love the Lord Jesus Christ as well. And so that's what we do. So we're finishing up on that study, and this will give you an idea of that. If you're looking for programs, you know, if you're looking to be programmed to death in a church, if you're looking for the church to take up every moment of your life afterwards and that mentality, if you're looking for a place just to come and fit in and nothing will be required of you and you require nothing of the people in the church, this isn't the church for you. This is not. We believe that the people come in that we're not to be lax in our responsibility. We expect something of the people who come into the church, that join with us in the work. And we think that they should expect something of us as the leadership of the church. And they should expect, at the very least, that they will learn the Bible at our church, that they will be know more about the things of God and what the Word of God says. At the very least, they should, within the period of time that they're there, say, I know the Bible better because I was at Mountain Ridge Bible Fellowship. So that's our mentality there, and this should give you a little idea of the types of things that we go over. I mentioned before the break that I wanted to look at the general doctrine of Christ growing or increasing. It's important for us to understand, when we think about this doctrine, that all of the things in Scripture that are spoken of Christ are not spoken with reference to His entire person, but with respect to one or the other nature united to that person. Now, when you think about the person of Christ, we've got to remember that Christ is a divine person, one divine person who has two natures. One nature is the divine nature, and the other nature that He brought into union with Himself is a human nature. The two natures of Christ, divine and human, are forever in union one with the other, and they must never be separated. You know, you get some of these theologians who try to separate the human nature of Christ from the divine person of Christ. And when they do that, they end up getting off into wild speculation and oftentimes bordering on sin and heretical doctrines related to the Lord Jesus Christ. The human nature of Christ can never be separated from the divine nature of Christ. They ask speculation and questions with highly speculative questions like this. They say, well, if the human nature went before it was brought into union with Christ, could it have sinned? Well, that's just speculation. We never think about the human nature of Christ apart from being divinely united or united to the divine person of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you separate those two things, if you separate either the humanity of Christ or the deity of Christ, you end up, in looking at these things, you'll do one of two things. You either deify His humanity or you will humanize His deity. Both of those things, deified humanity or humanized deity, are anathema to the Christian faith. They are heretical doctrines. We don't believe in them at all. Now, let me say this. While the two natures must never be separated, they must be distinguished in order to properly understand the Scriptures. If you don't understand something about the unique personality of the Lord Jesus Christ as the theanthropic person of Christ, the God-man, you will read certain passages of Scripture and come to the wrong conclusion about the Lord Jesus Christ. You will either begin to deify his humanity or you'll begin to humanize his deity. So you've got to understand about what the Scripture teaches concerning the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is unique. He's a unique person, and that unique person is taught to us in Scripture. Now, we must remember that there are two distinct natures in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, hear me clearly. I am not saying two distinct persons. I'm saying two. That's schizophrenia. Jesus was not schizophrenic. Yeah, that's when a person has two personalities, that's a description, or multiple personalities. That's not the Lord Jesus Christ. He has one person, one divine person, but he has two natures that are in union with that person. A divine and a human nature. One, the divine nature, is infinite and eternal, and the other is created and finite. And so these two natures are spoken of side by side throughout the Scriptures at various times. I did a study while we were in the scope of looking before we celebrated the incarnation of Christ at Christmas time. Leading up to that, I did a study about the theanthropic person of Christ and how the God-man was actually spoken about very often in the Old Testament Scriptures. So much so that I got to the point where I could say that the rejection of Christ in the New Testament was not that they did not understand the idea of the theanthropic person of Christ, that the Messiah would be a God-man. We see from the numerous times it's mentioned in the Scriptures that they understood that concept. What they didn't get and what they could not reconcile was that that was fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone who came out of Nazareth, they said. Someone that we know, are not his parents here with us? Isn't his parents Joseph and Mary? What they wrestled with was that the fulfillment of that promise could be found in Jesus of Nazareth. That's why you hear in the preaching in the book of Acts afterwards that it was in this man that you crucified, that you rejected, that God had made the cornerstone. He was the cornerstone that the builders rejected. This was the one. Jesus Christ of Nazareth was the one, and all these things were fulfilled. Listen to some of these passages in the Old Testament Scripture that clearly point to the fact that the Son of God would be Messiah, the mediator, would clearly be have these two aspects to him, that he would clearly be God, but he would also be man. First of all, in the Proto-Evangelion, the first gospel message that is taught in Genesis chapter 3, we see there where it talks about that he will bruise the head of the serpent, and the serpent will bruise his heel. Now, we see in that passage in Genesis chapter 3 clearly that he is going to be a man, because he's spoken about as being the seed of a woman. So clearly he's going to be a man, but clearly he's going to be more than a man, because he is going to defeat Satan himself, and it takes more than a man to be able to do that. So he's going to be the Son of God. He's not just the seed of the woman, but he's also the seed that is going to bruise the head of the serpent. And so we see right in that passage, here's another one, Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. It says, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Now notice, a child is born speaks of the human nature of Christ. But a son that is given, not born, speaks of the divine nature of Christ. That's why we read in Isaiah as well that he says that he is a child, and yet he's spoken of as being a, quote, mighty God, unquote, and a everlasting father, unquote, in that passage as well. So here is, it gives this list of all of these titles for the Lord Jesus Christ, and as it gives this list, right smack in the middle of them is mighty God. So they understood that, from that passage we could look at and say that they could see clearly that he was not only going to be born as a human, his human nature, but he also was going to have a divine nature. How about Micah chapter 2? We talk about that passage a lot at Christmas time. It says he's going to be born at Bethlehem, and yet his goings forth were from everlasting. So think about those two things. Born at Bethlehem points to a finite aspect to it, that there's a point in time, a beginning. But his going forth from everlasting, talk about the fact that there is no point in time, that from all of eternity, he's from everlasting until everlasting. There is no point that we can point to. John chapter 1 and verse 14 says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." But in that same passage, it says that the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so we see the theanthropic person. One more, Romans chapter 1 and verse 3 and 4 says, "Concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power." There it is, right there, the Apostle Paul, in the opening verses of his treatise in Romans, very clearly points out the theanthropic person of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, man, this is the teaching that we find in the Scriptures. Now, as we look at this, the general doctrine, we've got to remember then that there is no growth or development or increase in the divine nature. That's heresy. It is infinite. It is perfect. And nothing whatsoever can be added to it. So the doctrine that we're concerned with today is the doctrine dealing with Jesus Christ and specifically concerning his human nature. In his human nature, he experienced growth and development in both body and soul. We'll talk more about that when we come back from the break.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
Would you please welcome the pride of Alexandria, Indiana, your host, Bill Gaither.
Hey, thanks, Bill, and welcome to Homecoming Radio. Do we ever have a great show for you?
You can hear some of the great Christian music you grew up with Bill Gaither's Homecoming Radio, heard every Sunday evening at 5 o'clock on Christian Talk 660 and 92.9 FM.
It's great pizza for a great price. So pack up the family and head over to Stevie B's near Walmart on Woodruff Road in Greenville. At Stevie B's, you'll find friendly faces and at least a dozen pizzas out at all times. Or you can order a pizza and they'll make it fresh just for you at no extra cost. So visit Stevie B's today.
Hi, this is Pastor Kevin Bowling, and I want to take the time to thank John, Ruth, Carlos, and the good folks over there at Stevie B's Pizza for their support of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
Billy Graham on the Holy Spirit.
The Lord Jesus Christ was promising that he was going to send a comforter, someone to help alongside.
The Holy Spirit is God among us.
The Scripture teaches that he's a person. He's not an agent or an influence. He's God. And we're never to refer to the Holy Spirit as it.
He is God's action in the world and in our lives.
Now, the Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit is omnipotent. The word omnipotent means all-powerful.
He is always with us.
The Holy Spirit is present everywhere at the same time.
And he knows our hearts.
He has all knowledge.
Jesus Christ sent us a comforter. The Holy Spirit lights our path, awakens our conscience, and heals us so that we can be messengers for Christ. Go to BillyGraham.org and click on the Spiritual Growth tab. That's BillyGraham.org.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into the last segment of the Knowing the Truth radio program today. We've been looking at doing a little bit of a study here on error about the statement that's made in Luke chapter 2 and verse 52 that Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. It's a tremendous passage of Scripture, just chocked full of wonderful doctrine about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Before I started the discussion at the top of the broadcast, I was telling you about some events that were taking place in the area, and I mentioned the event that is going to take place the next week on Tuesday, 3:30, at Pelham Road Chick-fil-A. And I want to just make sure I told you by the end of the broadcast, I wanted to bring that up again. And with me on the phone line right now is Sherry Schilling. She's with the Chick-fil-A there on Pelham Road. And Sherry, tell us about this event and what's going to take place.
Hi, Kevin. On Tuesday at 3:30, that's Tuesday the 17th, at 3:30 in the afternoon, we're going to welcome Jim Bob and Michelle Duggar and some of their kids. And we hope that Karen Santorum and some of her kids are going to join us. We're just going to have a chance for our guests and our friends to meet them and to hear why Jim Bob and Michelle support Rick Santorum for president.
Oh, that's great. I've met the Duggars before. They're so kind and gracious. And, boy, just a wonderful couple. I really appreciate talking to them.
Yeah, they're great. I can't wait to have them in the store. I think our guests are really going to enjoy meeting them and talking with them. You know, it'll just be real informal. They'll have a chance to just kind of hang out and visit with them and, you know, just hear what they think.
And the event will take place right inside the store, right? So I imagine
Yes. You're
anticipating there's going to be quite a few people from the community that are going to be there, but there'll be something set up so that they can address the crowd and talk right there. And then I imagine they may stick around for a few minutes afterwards.
Yes, that's what we're planning is we'll give them a chance to kind of formally speak, and then they'll just kind of hang out for a while and, you know, take pictures and visit. They're not a real formal group of people.
Yeah.
And they'll be a lot more comfortable just kind of, you know, talking one-on-one and
sure.
And sitting around the table visiting.
Yeah. Is there, you said 3:30, you're expecting them to be there. Will their bus be there as well? Do you know they bring that big bus that they're driving around in?
I assume so. That's probably the only way they get anywhere.
Yeah, with that many kids.
That big old bus.
Yeah, exactly, with that many in their entourage there. So people should keep your eye out for that bus there. But you can't miss Pelham Road Chick-fil-A. It's right up there by the I-85 entrance, right up on Pelham Road. If you know that entrance very well on I-85, you can't miss it right there. So if you just go up Pelham Road towards the I-85 entrance, it's right there on the right-hand side if you're coming from Greenville. If you're coming from out like Greer way down Pelham Road, then, of course, it would be on the left-hand side. But it's right there on the corner, and just looking forward to meeting a number of folks out there. Sherry, that sounds like a great event. I hope it goes well for everybody there.
I think it will. We can't help but have fun out there, and I hope to see you out there.
All right, great. Thanks, Sherry, for joining us. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks, Kevin.
All righty. That was Sherry Schilling from Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A does so many great things here in the community, and this is yet another one. So that'll be 3:30 on Tuesday of next week. We'll talk a little bit more about it as we get closer to it as well. Now, in our study here, as we're looking at Luke chapter 2 and verse 52, I'd mentioned already about the general doctrine. Let me just drill down a little bit further in this text in order to talk about the idea that Christ grew in body and soul. Now, when we think about Christ growing in body, the increase of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, not many people have much difficulty with that, of course. They understand that he was born as a child, and it's just natural to us that he would grow in stature, and, you know, that he would, his height would increase, his weight would increase, and so forth. The part that people seem to struggle with a little bit is the impression that he also, in his increase, he also, the impression that he made upon God and man. The text says both of these two things. It says Christ grew not only in body, but in soul. It talks about growing in wisdom as well in that text, as well as in stature. So that's an issue. But also then that it had an impression upon both God and man. And those things, we have to reconcile all those aspects of this text. First of all, the idea of his human nature has two parts, body and soul. It's a true human nature. I always try to pause whenever somebody is trying to take away from the human nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. I fear sometimes in some of the songs that we sing, even some of the hymns that we sing around Christmas time, that there's little statements in there that may take away from the true humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. For instance, one of the hymns says, "No crying he makes." Now, do you really think that as a child that the Lord Jesus Christ didn't cry? I don't think that, you know, crying in and of itself is a means of communication for infants. If you have this notion in your mind that somehow Jesus Christ was some sort of a prodigy or something, so that when he was yet an infant, he kind of looked up at his parents and said to them, "Oh, that was pretty cool with the wise men coming here." That's not what the text concerning the Lord Jesus Christ indicate to us. He was, a baby, and he cried when he was hungry. Now, we wouldn't find any sinful crying taking place. There was no temper tantrum or self-indulgence or these types of things. But crying in order to communicate hunger or these types of things, I think we would be remiss if we didn't understand that everything that pertains to the nature of man, Christ took that upon himself. And we find in Luke chapter 4, it says, talking about in the improved knowledge and wisdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, we find something very interesting. It's really a side note in the text, but I always found it kind of interesting. You know the passage. It's the passage where Jesus spoke in the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and it says there was delivered unto him the book of Isaiah. And then it says this, "And he found the place where it was written about the Spirit of the Lord." Now, I know it's just a little side item, and I can't make too much out of it, but can you picture the Lord Jesus Christ thumbing through the Scripture, like you and I would? You know, that he doesn't automatically, you know, the Bible doesn't open up specifically to the text that he's looking at, to Isaiah, right? He has to find the text there. Here's another one. In Mark chapter 11, it says that seeing a fig tree afar off, he came, if happily he might find anything on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of the figs was not yet. So here's the Lord Jesus Christ thinking that the figs, you know, it's the time for the figs to be there. He sees a fig tree. He goes like you and I would go. And as he's going there, he discovers that there are no figs on it. You know, now all of these texts of Scripture, that if you don't understand something about the theanthropic person of Christ, if you don't understand something about the human nature of Christ, that he submitted himself to all of the infirmities of our nature, sin excluded. But sin is not inherently part of human nature. There was a time when man, Adam in the garden, was without sin. So sin is not inherently a part of human nature. It is now after the fall. Everybody is born with the stain of original sin upon their soul. But there is a human nature apart from that. And that was what the Lord Jesus Christ had. He had a human nature that he was liable to all of the infirmities of this life. In fact, the Apostle Paul says that he took upon him the likeness of sinful flesh. Important phrase. Not sinful flesh, but the likeness of it. In other words, he did not take upon him a glorified human body. He took upon him a flesh that would experience all the infirmities associated with man, but sin excluded. So he hungered, he thirsted, everything that we would feel in this life. He was lonely. He was, at times, people left him and wouldn't listen to him. He was spoken about. All of these things that we experience in this life, the Lord Jesus Christ took this upon himself. Now, here's the end of all this. We don't have time to go through the entire passage, but this is the end of it. This should cause us to be much more grateful for the condescension of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he submitted himself to this on our behalf, even to growing, to being under the law that he created, to submitting himself to being under it, taking to himself our human nature in order to pay the price for our sins upon Calvary. This is the Savior that has come in order to do this work on our behalf. Not just saying, and making a decree about our salvation, but entering into our very suffering. Now we know he can sympathize with us as well as pay the price for our sins as well. Well, remember this when you look at the scriptures, that it says that Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free."
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.
Life-changing teaching and talk for the Carolinas and Georgia. Christian Talk 660. WLFJ, Greenville, Spartanburg, Anderson.